What is going on, all you Snug Wrestling listeners and followers? Thank you for being a part of the show. I just want to give a quick reminder, if you're listening to this, please be sure to leave a star rating and leave a review, as it goes a long way. It means a lot, and it's easier for other people to find the show if you leave those star ratings and leave the review. I would really, really much appreciate it if you guys did that. Also, follow us on all of the social media platforms, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, at Snug Wrestling, and don't forget to keep it snug.
All of his stuff looked good, but probably too good because it was probably snug, but he was different in everything that he did. He locked up different. He locked up snug.
Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Snug Wrestling. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
What up? What's up, everyone? Welcome back again to Snug Wrestling. I'm Edgar. I'm your host. My co-host, like always, Mr. Blood, Toxic Tommy, and BT Knight. What up, fellas? Welcome.
Yeah.
How y'all doing?
And, pretty good.
What's up, y'all?
Good, good. We're going to talk about SmackDown real quick because it was actually a pretty decent show. I had really low standards for the show. Usually the go-home shows, the shows before the PLEs, are usually not that great, but this time I think it was pretty good. So let's get into it, y'all. You guys ready?
Yes, sir.
Yay.
All right, so easy. We are in Canada. They were in Toronto because the PLE is also going to be in Canada tomorrow. And we had to get things started with the hometown hero, Trish Stratus. Blood, I'm going to go with you first. Sorry, y'all. I got to edit that out. How did you feel about this opening segment here with Trish Stratus and Tiffany Stratton and, you know, the women's segment here to start the show?
Honestly, a little awkward. I felt like they were trying to kind of off the cuff rip off each other. It was falling a little flat in places for me. I love Trish. Happy to always see her. I've said this before. I'll say it again. She's proof that no matter how long you stayed out of the ring, you can still have it if you keep yourself in shape, if you really want it. If you're going to come back for a run of some kind, give it your all. Because, again, her run against Becky a couple of 2 years ago, that might have been one of the greatest comeback runs I've ever seen. And as far as a comeback match, her in the fucking steel cage with Becky – might be one of the greatest passing of the torch matches I've ever fucking seen. So whenever Trish Stratus comes back, it's always going to pop me. Massive Trish Stratus fan. Tiffany Stratton, you know, just starting her career. I think Tiffany's going to be a legend one day. I think that getting that you know, that rub from, you know, Trish Stratus being there with her in her corner to go tag team with her, to you know, have this rapport with her is great because she's picking the brain of someone who's done it all and in that division and is highly intelligent, has a great in-ring IQ. I just felt like this segment was a little odd. And it was, I don't know if it was because maybe this should have been a bit more scripted or because they were still ironing out however they wanted to kind of pass the charisma back and forth. But I thought it was funny. It was cool. I love Chelsea Green. I thought her insertion was hilarious. You know, I love Piper Niven coming out representing the, you know, the Mounties. That was always, that's cool. I think, and I hate to say it this way. I hate to say it. Out of all the matches taking place tomorrow, this is probably going to be the most forgettable one on the card. And that's right. No one's fault other than it's a tag team match on a gimmick PLE, and the gimmick is the draw. And this is going to be a time filler match to stretch out the card to probably 3 hours, 3.5.
Yep.
And it's going to be there to give the guys extra time to prepare, give production extra time to prepare, go over last minute details, that kind of thing. I think it'll be fun, but only because Tiffany Stratton and Trish Stratus are in it. I think they're the only two worthwhile things going on in the match. And that's just me.
All right, Toxic.
Like I said, I don't remember when it was, but I think it was when the match was announced. Whenever we have a tag match on a gimmick PLE, like Blood said, it's just not interesting. It's not interesting, and it's going to be the most forgettable, like at the Rumble, Motor City, and DIY. That. But, yeah, this segment, it was kind of weird. Didn't really, how do I put this into words?
Wonky.
I just thought it was weird. Like,
yeah.
Trish is a Hall of Famer, and she's coming out there acting like she just started.
Yeah.
Because she, I don't know how to put it into words, but it just didn't feel right to me.
Yeah, no, I definitely get what you're saying. It's kind of hard to explain, but we'll get into it more here in a little bit. Shout out to the Wrestling Pod. My boy Dylan says, very good show tonight, two exciting matches. And Chelsea versus Tiffany was good, wanted more. Shout out to Kazar Yeet fan. I might go to the Elimination Chamber. That's what's up. Tommy, thoughts on the opening segment, and then we'll go to BT.
Honestly, I've said it once, I've said it a million times. There's only one reason why Stratus is here. And it's simply because of the fact that anytime they go to a different country and they've got somebody on the roster that's from that country, both man and woman, they have to have both. Like, that's legitimately the only reason why Stratus is here, is because of the fact that we've got Sammy and Kevin for the men's side of things. They wanted a female superstar to do the exact same thing. So what do? They plug in Stratus. That is the only reason why she's here. Although, the little kiss to the jersey and then throw that out to the crowd, it was interesting to see because no one's really ever done that since the New Day stopped doing that. But, hey.
All right, BT.
All right. Again, what's up, YouTube? Here's my beautiful face. this segment, there's no hate to Tiffany Stratton. She's such an amazing talent. But this segment with Trish Stratus just sent me to sleep. From Trish not even putting into words her promo, and I understand because it's motion, right? But that I'll let slide. To the fucking handmade Maple Leaf Toronto jerseys that has Trishy and Tiffy on the back of the cunts.
What? What are you talking?
Did you not see that?
Yeah, what's wrong with that? I mean, haven't you ever had like a custom jersey with your name on it?
No, I haven't. But I understand why they did Tiffy. But Trishy?
Oh, Trishy.
I'm starting to think this segment was built for them to sell that merch. That shirt is merch.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
It's just getting weird.
Trishy!
I don't know if they can sell that because isn't that like a jersey from a local sports team?
Homie, they sell freaking merchandise with CM Punk's dog Larry on it.
Yeah, but they
merch. They sold merch at The Rock saying that I want your soul.
That's like they'll find a way to market that shirt. They'll ask permission and tweak the design.
That's like saying WWE is going to sell LA Lakers jerseys. I don't think they can get away with that.
I mean, they do have replica title belts that they do have for them.
For all NFL teams.
Well, and yeah, NBA. I mean,
that's a partnership. Anyway, what were you going to say, Tommy?
They have been selling Yeet shirts for almost every place that he's been at this point.
They almost had to stop selling those because they almost got sued for the word.
Yeah, no one cares about that guy anyway. But yeah, no, I agree with all you guys, man. The segment was a little awkward. It's nice that, you know, Tiffany Stratton is kind of like, you know, the future with the past type thing. That's cool that Tiffany's getting the Trish Stratus rub. I was actually kind of surprised of the reaction that Trish Stratus was getting, because she's, you know, she's old school, she's great, she's a Hall of Famer, she's this, but unlike you, Mr. Blood, I wasn't really a big fan of her feud with Becky Lynch at all. Like,
really? I thought it was awesome.
So ever.
I thought that was great.
It was fucking.
I thought it was a great feud.
It was honestly the only interesting women's feud that year.
That is sad.
the Hell in a Cell match, that's a 5-star match. Or sorry, the Steel Cage is a 5-star match for me. And that shit was insane. And she did it with a broken nose.
I don't care if she had a freaking broken freaking neck, man. I was not a fan of it. But
well, guess what? I don't give a fuck if Solo has to fucking get his balls kicked in just to give it to fucking Jacob. He's not the tribal chief, man. He's chief.
Wait, what if Solo broke both of his thumbs? Does the finisher still work?
Anyway.
Why do I have fireworks going on behind me? What is
like I was saying. I don't know what's going on here, but look,
tell you why. It's because you put two of these up. You put two of these up, and apparently fireworks show up in the background.
Wow!
That's so cool, you guys. Wow, that's amazing.
Liar.
Right. Anyway.
Every time he does that.
Look, one final thing that I got to say about this segment, and then we can move on. The fact that Trish Stratus was getting a pop, Tiffany Stratton was getting a pop, and then Chelsea Green comes out as a heel, and she gets a pop.
Everyone was over.
Everyone was over, and then Piper Niven was just kind of just standing there. But that everyone is over in this segment.
Piper's over by proxy.
And what isn't Chelsea Green also from Canada?
Yeah, she is.
Yeah,
friendly fire.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
So that was pretty cool to see. I was like, okay, yes, this is kind of awkward. And also it led to Tiffany Stratton versus Chelsea Green, which I thought, wow, what a way to kick off SmackDown. Your women's champion versus your women's United States champion.
Yes.
Yeah. That's quite impressive, I thought, to kick off the show.
And two very, very good workers.
Two very good workers, and I feel like the match ended in the right way because I'm thinking, who's going to win here?
Like, yeah, you can't have either of them lose.
You can't. You really can't.
No.
So saying
that neither of them could lose, technically in this case,
Chelsea, obviously, because she's a comedy wrestler.
Tiffy is the world champ. So
no,
she really can't lose. Not before
put
tomorrow.
Chelsea Green as a comedy wrestler in that category, because that's like the R-Truth category. Chelsea Green ain't that.
She is a comedy wrestler, but she is the best comedy wrestler because she can actually fucking wrestle. But I mean, I did have a thought about this, by the way, if you don't mind me, guys. I did have a quick thought, and we don't need to linger on it, but I also kind of feel like the reason that they're setting Trish up with Tiffy, God, I'm saying it now, and I'm a grown-ass man, with Tiffany, is because I'm wondering if they're laying the groundwork for a future program between the two in opposition. Because when Trish left, she was a heel, and she can do heel again.
God, I hope not.
Because they exact same thing with Becky.
Exactly. The exact same thing. She tags with her, then turns on her.
All right. Let's get our thoughts about... do we want to talk about the actual match itself? Because it ended in a it ended in a disqualification. Because Nia Jax and Candice LeRae got involved. Is there anything that stood out to you guys about this match at all that's worth mentioning?
No, I mean,
no,
decently worked, and for once, a DQ finish was the actual right call.
Am I the only one that had Bud frozen for a second?
Yeah, that was me. In case you didn't hear me for the edit, fantastic match, great in-ring work, did what it needed to do to start off the show, and for once, a DQ finish that was actually necessary because it kept both competitors strong and it protected them both. So that's really all there is to say.
Shout out to Edward in the comments. Thanks for stopping by. Have a good night, bro. All right, let's move on here. Toxic, I'm going to start with you first for this next one because it seems like you guys know more about this than I do because I was out of the loop all day. I wasn't keeping up with what was happening before SmackDown.
Yes.
Shinsuke Nakamura and LA Knight were supposed to have a match tonight for the United States Championship, but then everything's changed, and it was reported that Shinsuke Nakamura's brother passed away earlier today.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, so all these things.
Oh, I didn't see that.
The match between LA Knight and Shinsuke Nakamura got switched up, and instead we got a little mini United States Championship tournament, right, Toxic?
All right, that's what I heard from.
Did they have him vacate?
Honestly, made absolutely no sense to me, knowing the fact that they've been saying that LA Knight's the number one contender, anyways.
Shout out to Elite Gamer Joey. Thank you for your comment, bro. I appreciate you.
Go ahead. But they didn't make Shinsuke vacate, correct?
They didn't.
Okay, because that would have been horrible.
Later on in the show, they had a promo segment.
Package
with Shinsuke.
So
yeah,
So long story short, it was supposed to be LA Knight versus Shinsuke Nakamura tonight for the United States title. Instead, after the tragedy happened, they switched it up. They did this tournament thing. LA Knight ended up winning the whole thing again. So we're still gonna have LA Knight versus Shinsuke Nakamura, like the original plan, but what else can you tell us about this, Toxic? Anything else that we need to know that we missed?
Nothing much, but I just feel like it shouldn't have been LA Knight. Sorry, VT, no offense. I just don't feel like it should have been LA Knight. I felt like it should have been Jacob Fatu.
Yeah. Well, the first match, so what they did for this tournament is they had three singles matches. The first one was Jacob Fatu versus Andrade. The second one was, what was it? The second one again?
Carmelo versus Braun.
That was one of them. And then LA Knight versus Santos.
Yeah.
The second one was LA Knight versus Santos Escobar. And the third match was Carmelo Hayes versus Braun Strowman. The winners of all of those matches were going to face in the main event in a triple threat match.
Three matches was Hayes, but and later.
Yeah, so we had Jacob Fatu versus Carmelo Hayes versus LA Knight in the triple threat match in the main event. All three of these guys advance in the single matches. The first one, Jacob Fatu versus Andrade. Let's go with you first, BT. Any thoughts about this match?
I thought Solo giving up his position to Jacob was a bit petty, in my opinion. So I don't know. Because I get what Solo's doing, trying to gain trust back from the bloodline, right? Or basically, essentially, Tama Tonga and Jacob Fatu. But brother, you got kicked in the face from Jacob Fatu. You should be rubbing it in. You should be rubbing it in on Jacob. You should be rubbing it in, not fucking giving it up to Jacob. But anyway. No.
Pause.
Okay, here we go.
Because of the spike.
Anyway.
Stop,
Mr. Jacob's Buzz. Match against Andrade was fucking awesome. Yeah. And I love the fact, I love how over Jacob is. I love how over Jacob is. Mm-hmm. Like, he is getting face cheers as a fucking heel. But he's leaning into his tweener side. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I hope we get some sort of implication with Jacob and Solo at some point. I'm not saying it's happening now, but we need to get it at some point. As for the match, Jacob with the win, right choice. Hell of a fucking match. And Andrade, shout out to Andrade. Hell of a talent. Hell of a fucking talent. Very disappointing Andrade had to split with Charlotte Flair, not to rub the salt in the wounds, but yeah, anyway, those are my thoughts.
Why he was married to Charlotte is because both of them are one hell of a group.
All right, Tommy, thoughts on this match, if any?
Overall, I will say I also would have loved to see Jacob go up against Shinsuke, but we'll get to that later. He did fantastically. I had a feeling he was going to go through because, of course, Solo. Honestly, I thought he was going to get into this match and not go through with the one that he did. But the one that he did involved Braun Strowman, so that made sense. But overall, these two, great match. Great choice to have Jacob go through.
All right, Toxic, any thoughts on this?
No, but I feel like every week we see Andrade, his ring work improves more and more. We don't hear from him as much as we did whenever he came back in the Rumble 2024. We heard from him a lot, but now we just see him matches, and every time he's in the ring, I feel like his ring work is slowly improving.
All right, Mr. Blood.
I want to counter what BT said because I think you're missing the overarching part of it. It's not that Solo. Pardon me. It's not that Solo is rolling over for Jacob trying to get their trust back. You're missing the overall part of Solo's character. Like Roman, Solo's a manipulator. This is a hierarchy situation. The bloodline is a hierarchy thing. Solo gave that match to Jacob because Solo sees the U.S. title as beneath himself. So he's trying to place Jacob in a tier and going, No. You go for the mid-card title. I want you to bring the mid-card title back to us. I'm still going for Cody. And essentially, I think Jacob winning was the right call. Given the momentum, fantastic, absolutely fantastic match. I agree that Jacob should have gotten it, but here's why he didn't, guys. And I'm going to tell you, because I understand Triple H's long-term storytelling. The whole point is that, and I'm laying it out for you, this is so LA Knight can take the fucking belt back off of Shinsuke because obviously his reign ain't working. And this is why the bloodline has been fucking around with LA. They want LA to take it off of Shinsuke so Jacob can take it off of LA. So, think about it. He's literally been involved with the bloodline for the past couple months now where they're interfering in his shit, trying to take him out, attack him in the ring. The hip attack, you know, in the corners on him, interfering with the shit, getting fucking spiked by Solo. Like, this is literally so Jacob can come in and take the title off of LA because LA, in my opinion, internationally Shinsuke's probably the bigger star, at least over in Asia. But in the world of WWE and mainstream pro wrestling, LA is the bigger star. So you want Jacob to get the biggest light on him possible. Pardon me. You want Jacob to get the biggest light on him possible when he wins his first singles title. And LA is the perfect guy for him to beat.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on here because we had the tag team division. They got into a big ass brawl. And we see everything coming together, kind of how I believe, I want to say it was Toxic that said we're probably going to
have a
five-way multi-team match at WrestleMania or something crazy. And at first, I was like, man, Toxic, you crazy, bro. But after what we saw tonight, I'm starting to believe it now a little bit more.
Yeah, Toxic basically agreed that it's either fatal four-way fatal five-way. What are the two?
Yeah, but that's just not now. That I know it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be exciting to see, but I don't want to see 10 motherfuckers in the ring at one time in a multi-team tag team match. I do not, because I don't care about any of these teams. Like, focus on the champions. Focus on one team. And let's have a big feud at WrestleMania in a tag team match. Like, the only thing that I care about, the only team that I care about in this whole fucking thing are the Garzas. The Garzas are really the only ones that I care about here. Yes. Tell me. Okay. Why should I care about the Street Profits? Because they're attacking everyone?
Because out of every team on that roster, they're the only ones that have deserved a push longer than anyone, and they're the best team in there.
Everyone deserves a push. Everyone deserves
but they've been squandered longer by putting in more work than everybody.
Every single one of those tag teams have put in the work. They put in the time. Mm-hmm. They do the traveling. They do the workouts. They do the meetups, the meeting. Every single one of those tag teams deserve it. That doesn't mean that they need to get it.
Except the Street Profits have had their legs cut out from under them two or three times. They had massive pushes that Vince got bored with. They had another push, then Bobby fucking quit. Like, they've literally never had a good chance to show what they can truly do. Yeah. Under Vince, they were just the black street basketball team that likes perp drink. And Vince only saw them as a comedy act.
Go ahead, Tommy.
Exactly what I was about to bring up was the fact that they had a push when they had Bobby Lashley on their side, and then all of a sudden, Bobby decided to go, know what? I'm out. I'm ahead to AEW.
How many times have the Street Profits been tag team champions?
Four and a half, five years ago.
I'm pretty sure they never held the tag team championships. It was only the Raw championships.
It was only the Raw tag team championships,
before the pandemic.
Okay. And what was your favorite title defense by the Street Profits?
That's the problem. They never got a good one. I think they, because Vince didn't know how to book them right. Because
you can't tell.
They were on the pre-shows, man. They were on the pre-shows.
As champions? They were on the pre-shows?
Yes. Vince always booked tag team matches on the pre-shows. Always. Especially at WrestleMania. Vince hates tag team wrestling.
Look.
That's public knowledge about Vince. He hates tag wrestling.
Look.
Triple H loves it. That's why he's focusing on all of them right now.
All right. I'm calling it now. If the Street Profits are the ones that are going to get the major push out of all of this, their championship run is not going to be very good.
Hold on. Because I'm going to go first so I can finish my – so I'm going to finish my thoughts here because I super disagree with you. Out of every team there, Los Garza, who – the cannons fodder for whenever they're on TV, they have not put in the time that Street Profits have because they're never on TV. The Motor City Machine Guns have been here for a cup of coffee, and they're one of the most decorated tag teams in TNA, not WWE.
This isn't TNA, bro.
exactly my point. So they have not put in the same effort in this company that the Street Profits have. Then when it comes to DIY, you mean the team that has broken up and gotten back together more times than the Hardy Boys in 6 years? And on top of that, they were champions in NXT. Why? Because they were Triple H's boys. They were champions on the main roster well after the fact, where they even mattered, after Vince almost just destroyed Tommaso Ciampa when
Hold on. Who's clicking? Please stop that, because that's going to fuck up the audio. Go ahead.
But then after Vince fucked up, already fucked up Tommaso by throwing him with the fucking Miz before he got injured for a fucking year, then we also had to mess up freaking Johnny Gargano. Bro, when they had him come in as Johnny Wrestling.
About none of that. Why?
But I'm making a point, Snug. The point is, they didn't know what to do with any of these teams except the Street Profits. They kept trying to get behind and kept choking every time they were touching greatness. The Street Profits are the most charismatic out of any group that's involved in this. Pretty Deadly seems to have two matches over the last year televised because they can't decide if they want them to be serious wrestlers in a feud, back up for Nia Jax, off TV again, except for live events. And then, hey, we just decided to reinsert you after 4.5 fucking months because we forgot about you. The Street Profits are the most athletic, the most talented, have the most character, the most charisma, the most crowd connection out of any team that's involved in any of this, because no one cares about DIY. No one cares about Los Garza. Motor City Machine Guns, if you're a TNA diehard, you care about them. If you're a mainstream WWE fan, which is the majority of WWE fans, you don't. And then you have whoever the fuck else is in there. As far as it's concerned, it should be the Street Profits. They've waited the longest. They put in the most time. They've been fucked over the most. And they have the best work rate in WWE as a tag team that has been consistently a tag team for 6 years.
Are you done?
I am done. Okay. Now try to tell me that my logic is wrong.
Your logic is not wrong. I'm not gonna say you're wrong, but I am gonna disagree that the Street Profits are the most charismatic team out of all of there. Because I watched NXT when the Garces were down there. And they have way more charisma than the Street Profits do. The only problem is that not only are they, you know, their English is not their first language, their promos aren't that good. And I think that's a big part as to why they're not getting this major push. But when they were in NXT, the Garza's gimmick, these are good looking dudes, man. Like these are take your girls type of guys. These dudes, they were doing this gimmick where, you know, there were ladies guys, you know, they were coming out and handing, like, they had it, dude. They had something. They had a good gimmick. They had a good character down there in NXT.
And they're incredibly talented. And I'll give you that. They're incredibly talented. Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. This past Monday, mm-hmm. tell me why the LWO is more over, even with Ray off the TV.
Because they're with Ray? I don't know, because they're
Ray's off the TV. Movie. They wrestled him. They wrestled a whole how thing by themselves.
How long have they been with Ray now? You're telling me. You're telling me if you put look the Garzas with Ray Mysterio, they don't get over
with Ray.
They've been with Ray about as long as those two have been with the other dude.
Bro, you can put fucking Akira Tozawa with fucking Ray Mysterio. He's gonna get over.
So,
Akira is over. Is more over than the Los Garzas.
Who's not over right now? You can put fucking
the Garzas are not even close to over.
I will.
I've had cups of coffee. I've had cups of coffee hotter than them, and I hate coffee.
Snug. Yeah. I will make you a deal.
What
if the Street Profits become tag team champions within the next 6-7 months, you must acknowledge Roman Reigns as your tribal chief.
Tommy, I hate to rain on your parade, but he's already done it.
Fuck Roman Reigns. Anyway, look.
Okay, fuck you, Snow.
On the podcast screen, where it can be shown anytime, and you cannot edit it out. If they don't, I will acknowledge Solo as my tribal chief for the next month. How about that?
I don't care if you acknowledge Solo, bro. I acknowledge Solo. That's all I care about. Look, the bottom line is this. Look, I got one last question when it comes to this. Are the Street Profits, are they supposed to be heels?
I think they're tweener.
Okay. Yeah, I think they're tweener. Yeah, because they have this attitude where, like, they don't give a shit who you are. If you're in their way, you're going to get the shit beaten out of you.
Yeah.
But a lot of their anger is justified because a lot of these teams fucked them over. So this is retaliation.
The Garzas could make way better heels than the Street Profits. That's how I'm going to end it.
Right. With the Street Profits, their mind is set on, if you are in a tag team title match with DIY, you're getting fucked over because we will be the ones taking it from them.
No, because we want the smoke.
Oh, we want the smoke. Yeah, because
no one is it with this gun and the fucking fireworks, bro?
No one says that anymore. Like, this isn't 2017 anymore. Like,
hey, man, it's lit.
The smoke.
Jesus Christ. All right, anything else you guys want to say? BT, I feel like BT, we didn't get to hear from you when it comes to this tag team thing. Is there anything you want to add?
I love what Street Profits are doing, and I think they're 10 times more over than Los Garza ever will be in their entire fucking careers. And to speak on Street Profits being tweeners, I mean, look at what happened at the Royal Rumble. Yes, they cost the Moon of City Machine Guns, right? But they also attacked DIY as well after they were the ones that won that match. So, and it's solely because they want those tag team championships. That's the main whole point of it. So it doesn't matter who they're attacking or who they're fighting, they're justified. So those are my thoughts.
They're the Street Profits. They are currently the Street Profits that Bobby Lashley was trying to turn them into.
Yep. Mm. And they're fucking doing him proud.
Yeah, perhaps. But yeah, just when it comes to the tag team division, I don't care, man.
The tag team division on SmackDown is a fucking mess.
Yeah, and the Street Profits are not gonna make it any better.
But I am happy that Triple H is at least giving all these guys the proper spotlight that all these teams fairly do deserve, because they all do deserve spotlight. They're all incredibly talented guys, and Triple H loves tag wrestling. He's made that clear. Vince, we know, publicly hated it. So if Triple H is willing to get all these guys in the Mania card so they can show the entire world what they can do on the biggest stage of them all, I'm here for it, because I think each guy deserves it. They've all earned that spot. So, and
he doesn't like tag team championship round. Need I remind you that literally on Monday he made that the main event?
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to my favorite segment, and let me run through this really quick. Drew came out first, cut a fucking dope-ass promo on John Cena, and then Damian Priest comes out, and he cooks Drew McIntyre in the fucking craziest way ever. Then Seth Rollins comes out, and then I stopped paying attention. But then CM Punk came out. No, what the fuck? Seth Rollins comes out in his fucking goofy outfits, and my mind just automatically just goes away.
I legit agree with fucking Punk. I have a legitimate oven mitt set that looks exactly like what he was wearing.
Shout out to the Ringside Renaissance. Shout out to the Ringside Renaissance. What's up?
I was drinking my Baja Blast.
Anyway, I have no idea what Seth Rollins said. You guys can tell me, catch me up on what he said, because honestly, I don't care. But then CM Punk came out, and then I started paying attention. And then CM Punk starts cooking everyone, and I'm like fucking falling off of my chair. I'm loving this.
And then we hear Cena scream.
And then hold on, but before that, I'm thinking, okay, this we're hyping up the men's elimination chamber. Everyone is coming out.
Yeah.
John Cena has to come out now. He has to come out. I know he probably won't, but what if he does? What if he does? Is somebody playing zombies right now in the background?
No.
Okay. I thought I heard the song. Maybe I'm tripping because I was playing it earlier, but... Okay, I'm getting there, Tommy. Hold on. Slow your roll. My dog. Chill. All right. John Cena's music hits, and I'm like, it makes sense. We're hyping up the Men's Elimination Chamber. And I'm up here, right? I'm up here. Oh, you can't see it. I'm up here. Yeah. I'm feeling high. I'm enjoying this. And Logan Paul comes out.
And then
Hold on. And I'm loving this. This is amazing. This is perfect. This is some real heel shit what Logan Paul did. Remember, everyone before Logan Paul came out started cooking each other. Everyone had dope punchlines. The promos were on point. Everything was going good. Logan Paul comes out to John Cena's music, and then Logan Paul starts to speak. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. Logan Paul making me look so bad. I'm over here defending Logan Paul, but his promo was so bad.
But, Snug, what you can
say
is that Logan, one of the first... right after McIntyre, to actively what Cena wanted them to do a month ago, which was to come after Cena's name.
What do you mean, Tommy?
In the press conference at the last pay-per-view at the Royal Rumble, he flat out said, hey, I'm not going to say this. I will be in the chamber. I am going to give them a month to slander my name however the hell they want. And then for like 3 weeks, we heard nothing. Nothing at all.
Except for Punk, he mentioned it.
Yeah, but the point is,
was that he put himself in the Rumble. That was pretty much it. Drew McIntyre got a little bit more into it, but the most out of somebody when it comes to Cena's name that we've seen is Logan Paul tonight.
Okay, but what I want to get your thoughts on is specifically, and then you guys can get into anything else that stood out to you guys, but I want to hear what you guys think about Logan Paul's promo specifically, because it felt like everyone was firing shots, some good ones, and then Logan Paul just felt forced. Logan Paul felt like he was like reading, like trying to remember what he was it was just not good. And Logan Paul usually cuts good promos, but for some reason tonight was not that good. So I want to hear your thoughts about that. Go ahead, Mr. Blood.
I believe that I will equate Logan Paul's promo to this. There is some kid in a preacher's pulpit right now getting a Catholic dick in his ear that probably felt better than listening to Logan Paul's promo tonight. Legitimately, I have had teeth grinding in my ear that sounded better than the shit that came out of his mouth. And the crowd didn't help because they wouldn't shut the fuck up, because now the popular thing that's become the new what chant.
Mr. Black, I don't want to know what you stick in your ears. I don't know what you stick in your ears, but there's kids be watching the show, Mr. Blood, all right? Just throwing it out.
Well, kids, don't go to Catholic school. Look, the point is, don't go to the Vatican. Look, the point is that what makes this worse is that the new what chant has become booing so loudly that a heel you don't like can't cut their promo. It was cool with Dominic because it was a part of the gimmick. Then they started doing it with the New Day to the point to where it's irritating, and they had to make it into the segments to where we got to wait 7 fucking weeks to hear them actually say some shit after their actual major turning point in their story happens. Now, every time Logan Paul comes out and talks, we got to listen to them boo so loudly. By the way, it's their fault. They're booing so loudly, he's forgetting his own place in his promos. Because you can see his wheels turning because he gets lost in the promo because they're booing so loudly he can't think. So literally, this promo would have been better had the crowd shut the fuck up and just throw out a couple of boos. Don't boo so loud that the guy who's still getting his feet wet with promos can't fucking remember his lines and hit his cue marks in the promo, because that's why it was so bad. This man, first off, it was awkward enough because the promo was supposed to start off clearly with him going after Punk. He can't see Punk from where he's standing because Punk didn't get in the ring. And all of a sudden, he's like, oh, I can't see you. All right, you know, we'll move on to somebody else.
Here, dumbass, or something like that.
Yeah, we'll move on. We'll move on to somebody else. How about you, Steph? Looking like a pair of oven mitts. You know, that. And he just starts doing the most kindergarten insults because he's so green on the mic still that – because he normally just relies on his arrogance to get the audience to hate him. He's not really good on promos.
You know,
he recites his lines, and he gets the heat. He goes for the cheap heel heat, going after their fucking sports team. You know, there's just the oldest tricks in the book that are tired and boring. And honestly, they are a fucking telltale of someone who is a bad promo. If you have to get cheap heat from the local sports team, that tells me that you don't know how to get real heat on yourself when you are the heel. That tells me that you are wet behind the ears. And when it comes to the rest of the segment, he was trying to go one after the other after the other. He had like one good fucking line about Drew McIntyre not being a champion, but it led him to the fucking heel heat or the fucking cheap heat. This promo was a flop. The only good thing that came out of this was him getting the mega heat of faking the crowd out for John Cena's music. Other than that, I don't know why they let him talk as long as he did. He should have come out at the start of the segment, like the third guy out after Damian. And then you bring in Seth, and then you bring in Punk for the massive pop to put it over. Having him come out last and close out the promo was bullshit. Then having him chicken shit out when Punk starts charging him was even more pussy-ass shit. Dude, you're a professional fucking celebrity boxer, and you're running from the guy that publicly lost his fucking two fights in the UFC. I'm supposed to believe that you're this tough guy who can run his mouth even as a chicken shit heel? Because Logan should not be a chicken shit heel. He's a legitimate fighter. So it makes no sense when you know all of that. And then, why on earth did you throw him in there in the deep end? Of all the people to verbally go box with, you threw him out there with Punk, Rollins, Damian, and fucking Drew? And you put him on last to follow them? Why?
Yeah, I was surprised. I was surprised how off Logan Paul came off tonight, because I feel like his promos are usually pretty good on point. Or he's done a pretty good job of hiding the fact that he's not
usually
good at it
decent. But he's usually decent.
Yeah.
All right. Decent.
Let's go on with Tommy next, and then BT.
You know when you're not that good on the mic, when your promo would have fit better in the fucking COVID era.
Why?
Damn.
There was no fans whatsoever. Like, that is how...
Because he actually would have known how to interact.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, the fans hate him so much that his promos would have been better in the COVID era. That way he could actually remember what the fuck he was saying. Because no one would be there to interrupt him whatsoever.
Yeah, who fucking knows, man? It was weird. BT?
Also, fuck you, Blood. I almost spit out my Baja Blast.
Anyway, hey, man, Mountain Dew kills sperm.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow. I don't even know that.
Anyway, Drew, Damian, Rollins, Punk, amazing stuff. And yeah, Seth, what in the kitchen utensils was that outfit? Seriously, what the fuck? Now, when John Cena's music hit, I scared the shit out of my neighbors because I was screaming so fucking loud. And then I saw Logan Paul's bitch ass pop up and I lost it. I fucking lost it. I had to apologize to my neighbors because of how pissed off I was.
I think this is the first time that it seems the like tricks like this. Vince pulled the same thing with The Miz back when he held the...
Yeah.
When he came out, like, bald cap and everything with the Rock's theme song.
Yeah, I've seen this done numerous times. It's like a also, wrestling thing.
Can we really quick, why on earth did they have him come out to impersonate Cena while he was dressed like LA Knight?
You absolutely have fun.
Oh, all right, my God. BT, finish your thoughts and move on.
Yeah, Logan Paul, I've seen better promos from him, but the fact that you had to make me publicly apologize to my fucking neighbors all because of how hyped up I was for John Cena, I will send you to the depths of hell, you son of a bitch. I swear to God, those are my thoughts.
All right, Toxic.
Oh, man, where do I even begin? This entire segment cracked me the hell up the entire time. You're playing a video package of Cena in the Rumble, and then McIntyre, no, stop it right now, you stupid son of a bitch. And he starts just... And he just starts going off on Cena and the people in the back working the packages and stuff. And then Damian Priest comes out. Hey, I cashed in on your bitch ass. Seth comes out, look like an oven mitt. Looks like he's wearing one of Becky's old jacket.
Lady Gaga threw up on a coat rack, according to Logan Paul. That was a good line. I'll give him that one. Lady Gaga threw up on a coat rack.
And then CM Punk. Hey, Scott, his bitch. I beat you in Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
No, Punk's like, I snatched your soul.
No, yeah. This,
yes!
This segment was pretty great. I'm not going to lie.
Punk cooked them like he invited them to a weenie roast, bro. But he was the only one roasting these weenies, bro.
Bro, that's easily one of his best promos that he's cut during his time in WWE.
Yeah.
No shadow of a fucking doubt. Since he's returned in 2023, best promo he's ever cut. For sure. 100%.
The superstars overall cannot stop reminding Punk, even backstage, about how big that pipe bomb was, because that is exactly what Damian Priest did to Drew McIntyre.
All right, who did LA Knight wrestle tonight? The first time, I forgot.
Santos Escobar.
Oh yeah, Santos Escobar.
Great
finish. Great finish.
Yes, bro. I jumped out of my fucking bed because I was watching it on my iPad, right? I jumped out of my bed because this man hit the cleanest BFT from mid-air.
This BFT reminds me of that stomp into the RKO mid-air.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that'll be the next catch finisher in WWE 2K26. That was legitimately a clean finish. And hats off to Santos for selling that like a champion.
We need to see LA Knight do more of that. If he's going to be world champion at some point, we need to see more of that.
I mean, it was a really good match, but I mean, that finish is what makes it stick in my head.
Yeah. Yeah. LA Knight ended up winning this. I think we all expected that. I don't think there was no way
Santos Escobar was going to buy a win.
Yeah.
Santos can't buy a win, bro.
All right, let's go on to the Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn segment, because they cut a promo on each other again. And the story continues with Sami Zayn, and it got personal again on this the segment that they did to hype up their match tomorrow at the Elimination Chamber. And I don't think I could get more hyped up than what I already was, but I was still kind of shocked at some of the shots that these guys were taking at each other. And I know we talked about this already a lot during the Elimination Chamber prediction episode that we put out. But is there anything else that we missed or that you guys want to add when it comes to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn? Let's go with Toxic first this time.
Three letters, technically one word, RKO. I'm done.
All right, BT.
Bro, Here's the thing. I make myself some lunch today, right? I had nuggets. I had nuggets and some chips, right? Nuggets and fries, right? Homemade.
Yeah.
All that shit. Didn't have a beverage, but I did I did have water. Okay. When that segment started, when Kevin Owens was at the other stadium, was it Rogers Stadium or some shit?
I don't know. I didn't pay attention.
Yeah.
Can't remember the name of it. But
the stadium that the chamber will reside in.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. But he was sitting on the turnbuckle and he was cutting his promo. As soon as that part came up, I shit you not, my food instantly turned cold after just coming out of the oven in like 5-10 minutes. Oh, I'm like, where the fuck is the heat gone from the food? That is how fucking hot this rivalry is.
Like, where
that is how hot this rivalry is.
It went to that promo.
Bro, and this promo in particular, Sammy was cooking. I loved it. I fucking loved it. And then Kevin with the, you know, after I beat you, I'm not going to take care of your family. I'm going to watch them suffer. And I want you to suffer.
Yeah,
with
that
it.
Was the line that got me, bro. I was like, bro. God damn.
Bro, and that then Sammy crazy. Came in with the, he name dropped his mother who earlier in 2024, Kevin mentioned that she had been in hospital.
Very sick. Yeah, she was sick.
Yeah. And he was mentioning how his family, Kevin's family may not forgive Sammy for what Sammy is going to do to Kevin. And it made him, that made him so nervous and so heartbroken. And I love that. I love how they emphasized on that. When Kevin's not giving a fuck about Sammy's family, Sammy was giving a fuck about Kevin's. And there's a very big contrast between the two characters at this moment in time. But all I got to say is that match at Elimination Chamber is going to be fire. I don't care what anybody tells me. I don't give a fuck who wins at this point. But Kevin Owens needs it. So those are my thoughts.